Take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, you begin with verses 1 through 3. As many of you know, we are in the middle, this is week 3 of a 5-part series on navigating through the desert. And we said in week 1 that a desert experience is those seasons in our lives that are characterized by suffering and trials. Those seasons of our lives that are characterized by suffering and trials, desert experiences. I also shared that from my perspective, the American church is not prepared and equipped in mind and in heart to navigate through the sufferings and the realities of this fallen and broken world. And so this 5-part series is about equipping us, preparing us in heart and mind to navigate through those seasons of lives, our lives, that are characterized by suffering and trials. And we've been using Deuteronomy 8 as the foundational text for this 5-week series. So let's begin. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. The context here is the Israelites are just about ready to enter into the promised land. They've been a month shy of their 40 years of wandering in the desert. Verse 1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The first 2 weeks of this series, we focused on the fact that God has led the Israelites into the desert to humble them and to test and expose what is in their hearts. We also see that there is another reason here in verse 3 that God has led them into the desert. And it helps us to understand why God may lead us into desert experiences. He says that he has led them into the desert to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Think about that statement. What does it mean that he wanted to teach the Israelites that they could not simply live by bread alone, but they needed him to be speaking into their lives? If we were to go on a trip, on a hike through a literal physical desert, we would need bread. We would need physical nourishment to sustain us, to strengthen us. Physically, we cannot survive without bread. But now God is sharing with the Israelites that bread alone is not enough to make it through life. We need his word. We need him, the true and the living God, to be speaking into our lives. The foundational premise that I'm working from this morning, and I would encourage you to follow along in the notes, is this. That in order for you and I to navigate through our desert experiences, we are dependent upon God and his word. Rick Warren in A Purpose-Driven Life books sums it up like this. He says, we cannot live without the word of God. Never take it for granted. You should consider it as essential to your life as food. Jana referenced this phrase as she was leading us in worship this morning. She said, just like we need physical bread, we need the Lord to sustain us, to strengthen us, to speak into our lives for emotional, spiritual, intellectual, for our well-being, we need the true and the living God to speak into our lives. This morning, I'm going to give you four reasons why we need to embrace the Word of God. We need to embrace the Word of God throughout our lives, but especially in those desert experiences. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, give you a little bit of Bible trivia, is the longest chapter, at least more verses in Psalm 119 than any other chapter in the Bible. The main theme running through Psalm 119 is the Word of God. This is a book written by a psalmist, and it's sharing his love, his passion, his appreciation for the Word of God. But there's also a second theme that weaves its way through Psalm 119, and that is one of suffering and trials. And it was great fun for me this week, this past Tuesday, as I sat down and as I began to reflect and read through Psalm 119. I always understood that Psalm 119 was a great chapter in the Bible about the Word of God. But it was fun to be able to see woven through this chapter was this theme of suffering, was this theme of trials. And so this morning we want to bring those two themes together, and we want to look at, in the midst of our desert experiences, why is it crucial that we embrace the Word of God? We're not going to, I shared with someone, we're going to go through Psalm 119, and they look like, oh, that's a long book. We're going to be here for a long time. Like, no, we're just going to hit a couple of verses, okay? First verse I want us to look at is verse 28. The psalmist says, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Here we see the theme or the element of suffering and trials. My soul is weary with sorrow. And take a look at what his request is. He says, strengthen me according to your word. When you and I navigate through our desert experiences, we need to embrace the word of God so that we can find strength. When you and I go through seasons of suffering and seasons of trials, we are in dire need of a fortitude and inner strength that allows us to face and to navigate through seemingly impossible situations. When you find yourself in situations that are, humanly speaking, impossible for you to solve, you need to rely on an inner strength. Growing up here in Lancaster County, growing up on a farm, always considered myself as an individual that had strength. Maybe not physical strength, but an inner strength to navigate through tough times. I was taught from early on up, you know, you face a problem, you have a challenge, you suck it up, you do what it takes, you do what you need to do, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's human nature. We all want to be self-sufficient. God led the nation of Israel into the desert to help them to see how much they were dependent upon God, to help them to see that they could not survive on bread alone, that they needed Him for their strength. As I navigated through my desert experience a few years ago, I quickly realized that I might be from Lancaster, I might have some ability to suck it up and pull myself up by the bootstraps and get through a tough situation. But the situation I found myself in, there was an inner strength and inner fortitude that was beyond me that was needed for that situation. I needed to find my strength in God and in His Word. One of the passages that God used to give me that inner strength was 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. It says this. Let me give you some background for 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Having trouble here with the big palm trees in the way. Hopefully you can see at least one of them. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there is an army that is coming to attack the Israelites. This army is huge. It's vast. Humanly speaking, there is no way the Israelites can stand against this army. They don't have a prayer. They don't have a chance. There is no way they can stand up against this army. and 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I would read over and over and over again. Why was I so drawn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Why did I need 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in the midst of my desert experience? Because I needed to be reminded of this reality in that situation. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. In the desert, do you struggle with being afraid? Yes, your circumstances are out of your control. You don't know how they're going to play out. Okay, so there's fear. It's the reality of a desert experience. Discouragement. Do we find discouragement in desert experiences? Absolutely. They're painful. They're hard. And so the Lord says to you, in your desert experience, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but of God's. I would read that over and over again. It would give me a sense of strength, a sense of peace that, okay, yeah, this is bigger than me. What I'm going through, I cannot handle. It is bigger than me. But it's not my battle. It's the Lord's battle. And in that truth, in that reality, is a strength. In just a moment, I'm going to show you a video of a 92-year-old lady. And we recognize that 92-year-old ladies don't have a lot of physical strength. But what we're going to see in this video is a 92-year-old lady who had a lot of inner strength. And as you see the video open up, you're going to see her with her Bible open. It is clear that this lady understood that her strength was found in the Lord and in His Word. It's actually a clip that was taken off in evening news. But go ahead and show this clip as we think about strength being found in God and His Word. Isn't that a powerful story? Catch what the lady said. Every day she begins her day in the Word of God. That Word of God gave her strength to navigate through that situation, and I'm sure many other circumstances in her 92 years. And so as we think about navigating through desert experiences, we need to embrace the Word of God, because in the Word of God, we find strength, because it is how God gives us strength and ministers strength to us. Look with me now at verse is 50 through 52. Psalm 119. The psalmist says, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. I remember your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Here again, we see the two themes of Psalm 119 coming together, suffering with the Word of God. Look at verse 50. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me without restraint. Here again, we do not know all that the psalmist was dealing with, why there was such significant suffering in his life. But we see a glimpse that one of the elements in his life is that individuals were mocking him. They were slandering him. They were attacking him. And it was in that place that he needed comfort. And so he says in verse 52, I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. For you and I, to navigate through the desert, we need to embrace the Word of God so that we not only find strength, but letter B, we will find comfort. Many times when we are in desert experiences, we look to escape our pain. Each of us probably have various ways that we deal with suffering and trials and pain in our lives, whether it's past pain, whether it's present pain. Some of us just try to pretend that it's not there, that I'm not really hurt by what took place. And if I get really busy and I keep my schedule really full, then I won't have to deal with this pain. Some individuals turn to TV and they begin to escape their pain, their suffering, their trials through TV. Some individuals might turn to food to escape the pain. Some turn to success in their careers, and they say, if I can just be successful in my career, then all this pain over here doesn't really matter. And so all of us have various ways that we tend to cope with the pain and the suffering in our lives. Rather than turning to God and His Word for comfort, we tend to turn to various vices. In many ways, we are all addicts. Which is why, instead of turning to our vices, we need to look to God and His Word to comfort our hearts. Let me ask you a question. What passage, what verse, what verses has God used to comfort your heart in the midst of a difficult situation? In fact, what I would like for you to do, right where you're at, is to turn in your Bible. If you have a verse, if you have a passage that was significant to you, maybe it was a verse, maybe it was a passage from this week that God used to speak to your heart to give you comfort and strength. Maybe you went through a trial 25 years ago and you still remember the verse, the passage that God used to speak to your heart. What I want us to see this morning is that the true and the living God is going to meet us in our pain. He does it through His Holy Spirit as He ministers to our hearts through His written word. The God of the universe helps us to see that we cannot just simply survive on bread, but we need Him to provide strength. We need Him to provide comfort. Everybody have a passage of Scripture? Here again, some of you might say, well, I'm sort of new. I don't even have my Bible. I'm sort of new to church. I don't really have my Bible. I can't go to a passage of Scripture. That's fine. But what I want to do is I want to give some of you opportunities this morning. I'm going to have Pastor Jim come, and he's going to stand up front here with a microphone. And what I would like is for a few of you to just get out of your seat, come up front, not to share anything about your experience, not to give any context, but to just to simply read the Word of God that God used to minister comfort and strength into your heart. Anybody willing to do that? Just simply come to the platform and read a verse, read a couple of verses. Hopefully there'll be a few of you standing in line. Just take a moment to listen to these verses.
Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, this is Isaiah 40:52. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
When we go through the desert experience, sometimes we are tempted to believe that maybe we're not saved. And Satan really tries to deceive us. And when I had that feeling, God led me to this verse in 1 Peter. It talks about our salvation being stored up in heaven. And it said there's wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. These trials are only to test your faith to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the days of His return.
Praise the Lord.
This is 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness.
Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts.
Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:3-6.
Jeremiah 31:3-4. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful.
1 Peter 4, verses 16 and 19. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Verse 19 says, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Psalms 119:76. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant.
As a child, we learn Psalms 23, and we take it for granted, but yet this has spoke to me many times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is something that I always walk through and just read past it, but the Lord slowed me down one day and said, even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We walk through it. We don't stay in it. So I praise God for that.
Psalm 40:1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord.
This is a verse that my mom would quote to me often when I would face times of fear and uncertainty. And it's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. She said, Marilyn, if we only begin to understand what we have as a child of God, we would not fear.
In my darkest hours, I never forgot these two verses. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor power, any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 38:39.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
For me, it's been all of Romans 8, but specifically 17, 18, and 24. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. 24 says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is not, or that is seen, is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Psalm 62:5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
I'd like to read this in the first person. This is how I like to pray this. It's Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen me with power through your Holy Spirit in my inner being, that Christ might dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that I may know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within me. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
Let's give the Lord applause this morning. To fully appreciate how God meets us through His Word to give us strength, we should have taken the time to hear each of their stories that are around those passages of Scripture. But my hope and my prayer is that as you walk away from the service this morning, that you would realize that you need the Word of God. We need the Word of God so that we will find strength and comfort. Take your Bibles, turn to, in Psalm 119, verses 114. When was the last time you heard a preacher or pastor said, turn to verse 114? 114, and then we're going to skip over to 147 and 148. It says, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. 147 and 148. It says, I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I might meditate on your promises. Here again, we see the two elements coming together in Psalm 119. We see challenges, we see trials, we see suffering. We see the psalmist getting up early, crying out to God. And as he cries out to God, he says, I have put my hope in your word. We need the Word of God. We need to embrace the Word of God so that we can find hope. As we think about hope in the midst of trials and sufferings, I think many of us can understand how important hope is. Without hope, we become overwhelmed with our circumstances. Without hope, we end up in despair, depressed, angry, bitter, and resentful. But hope becomes the key element to navigate us through those desert experiences. One of the passages that God used in my life is this Deuteronomy 8 passage. But two of the verses that He specifically used in Deuteronomy 8 to give me hope was these two verses. He said, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills. And so I would read that in the midst of my desert experience, and I would say to myself, is God preparing me for a season in my life where He's going to pour out His blessing on me, a promised land experience? Is that what God's preparing me for? Obviously, I didn't know the future. And so I would say, you know what? Maybe these circumstances are never going to change. Maybe the promised land for me is going to be heaven when God will right all wrongs. But either way, okay, either if God's leading me into a season of blessing that he needed to prepare me for, or if he's preparing me for heaven, either way, my present circumstances are temporary. It's not always going to be this way. When you're in the middle of those difficult circumstances, to have the hope that it's not always going to be this way is what allows you to put one foot in front of another foot. Without that, you crawl up in a hole. You don't get out of bed in the mornings. But Deuteronomy 8 was a promise to me that it wasn't always going to be this way. Either God was going to change my circumstances in this life or the next, but either way, it wasn't always going to be this way. Deuteronomy 8:16 coincided with this. He says, he gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. Another verse that gave me hope that God was in this and that he had my best interest at heart. Another passage that God used to give me hope was Psalms 27, verses 13 and 14. He says this, I'm still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And what was so significant is when I came across this verse, it was like, the land of the living, that's now. That's here. I don't have to just wait for heaven. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so I began to reflect and meditate on this verse, and I was like, you know what? There will be another season to my life that I can look forward to. What was really interesting is that day, the next day, I began to see the goodness of the Lord in my present circumstances. I didn't need to wait to a different season of my life. I began to see the goodness of the Lord in the circumstances that I was in. Two passages of Scripture that God used to give me hope. And here again, I wanted to have the illustration of you coming up and sharing your verses because I didn't want you to be sitting there and think this morning, oh, well, it's only because he's the pastor that God speaks to him and does these kind of things in Pastor Jeff's life. I want you to see that God wants to speak into all of our lives through his word by his Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, verses 143 and 144. Psalmist says, trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes, referring to the word of God, are forever right. They give me understanding that I may live. Now, some of you might be saying, I can understand why hope is so critical for seasons of our trials when we're in the midst of suffering. But why is understanding so critical? Why is understanding so crucial? Here's why. When you and I are in seasons of suffering, lost my place in my notes. Because in the midst of our trials and sufferings, this is when we are most vulnerable to make poor and destructive choices. Let me say that again. In the midst of our desert experiences is when we are most vulnerable to make destructive decisions, poor choices. Our emotions tend to overwhelm us, and we make decisions based on what we think will ease our pain and bring relief. In those places, we need understanding. We need to understand the ways of God. We need to understand how the God of the universe wants to meet us and navigate, help us navigate through that experience. It's in the midst of our desert experiences, we tend to take situations into our own hands. When we tend to take situations into our own hands, does that make things better? No. We could probably have all of you or many of you come up and share stories of how you were in a difficult situation. You said, I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to take the situation in my own hands to ease the pain, to make things better, and it only made things worse. Over the years as a pastor, I've seen people make just unbelievable decisions in the midst of their desert experiences that have cost them and has had ramifications for them the rest of their lives. So in our desert experiences, we need the Word of God because we need the understanding that is found in His Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a passage of Scripture that God used to give me understanding in the midst of the desert. It was sort of my marching orders. It was very clear and concise, just the way I like it. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 8. Trust in the Lord and do good. I'm just going to read key phrases. Verse 3. How do we navigate through desert experiences? What is the understanding that we need? We need to trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. In other words, submit it, surrender it to God. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Verse 8, critical, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. These were verses that gave me understanding. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. When we navigate through our desert experiences, take a look at the list that we have in our notes. What do we need? We need strength. We need comfort. We need hope. We need understanding. All elements that this world, the people around you, cannot offer you. Things that money can't buy. It's found through God and His Word. Take a look on the back. Found this a very, very interesting and insightful verse tucked away in Psalm 119. And here again, I'd encourage you this week to continue on in reflecting on Psalm 119 and to spend time studying it. But look at verses 71 and 72 of Psalm 119. They're there in your notes on the back side of your handout. The psalmist says, "It was good for me to be afflicted." When was the last time you heard someone say that? "It was good for me to be afflicted. So that I might learn your decrees, so that I might learn your word. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." The psalmist says, it was good for me to suffer. It was good for me to be inflicted. Because it was in that place that I was inflicted that I really got to know you and your word. There are some truths in God's word that you will never understand. Oh, you might have an intellectual understanding, but you will never understand truths found in God's word unless you navigate through the suffering and trials of life and you begin to process that truth with your experience. I love what John Piper says there. Take a look at the quote. He says, "There are things to see in the word of God that our eyes can only see through the lens of tears." There are things to see in the Word of God that our eyes can only see through the lens of tears. That's what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 119. And as he found that to be true, he said, "Your Word is more precious to me than a thousand pieces of silver and gold." Think about it. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through suffering, the God of the universe, your Creator, is available to you and with you and desires to speak into your life and in your situation through His Holy Spirit by His written word. I want you to take a moment to reflect on the question there in your notes that it says, "For me to embrace the Word of God this week, it will mean that I will." Take a moment to think about that. I love the illustration of that lady. Every day, she spent time in her word, strengthening herself, preparing herself for life's trials, tribulations. We can't simply wait for God. We can't simply wait to be in the trial, to turn to God's word. Yes, He still meets us. His grace, He still meets us. But to prepare ourselves for the storms of life, we need to be in His Word. I'll close with what Rick Warren says. He says for most of the 2,000-year history of the church, only priests got to personally read the Bible. But now billions of us have access to it. In spite of this, many believers are more faithful to reading their daily newspapers than their Bibles. It's no wonder we don't grow. We can't watch television for 3 hours, then read the Bible for 3 minutes and expect to grow. Challenging.